Matthew chapter 26, verses 30 to 35. Be not ashamed of Christ is the title of our sermon. The Christian testimony is a testimony before God and before men of the reconciled relationship we have with our Creator. And it is the will of God that we would cherish this blessed relationship with our Creator, that we may be not ashamed of Christ and His testimony, but be thankful for what He has done in our lives through the power of the gospel. We have been freed from the bondage of sin. This Chinese character, Fu, is very interesting. One man with God in the garden is blessedness. The Lord wants us to walk with Him with a holy boldness to receive blessings from Him, to receive guidance, to receive wisdom, to receive His protection. The Lord wants us to enjoy this blessedness, and the Lord wants us to live this life with a holy boldness as a living witness for God in this new year. You know, the left radical is God, and one man in the garden on the right radical describe our relationship with God, that reconciled relationship, blessedness. Christ has freed us from that bondage of sin, and we are to express this blessing by our lives, to be not ashamed of Christ. In this new year, it is my prayer that the people of God would seek to walk closer with Him. And I have here 5 items for your consideration and commitment, how we can be not ashamed of Christ. You recall the Watch Night Service message, "Remember now thy Creator," Solomon, who lived at a ripe old age, the king of Israel, in the golden age of Israel's history, understood that life is to be lived in the presence of God, in the fear of God, obeying, following His commandments. And in this new year, we have sought for us a way to walk with God. How we ought not to be ashamed of Christ, and how can we do so? Well, by a closer walk with the Lord. And I believe all of you would have gotten a copy of this New Year resolve. Right, would you take that out? And would you be minded to see and consider for yourself? Right, if you do not have it, please put up your hand. Our ushers will deliver them to you. If you do not have a copy, please put up your hands. Well, there are 5 boxes there, and there are 5 New Year resolutions, how we can be walking unashamed before God, before men, to walk closer with the Lord daily, to devote 30 minutes for quiet time daily. You have this copy of the Andrew Murray 365-day Bible reading devotion. And I urge you to use it daily for your spiritual edification. spend time, take time. So if you are clear that you want to walk with God, then put a tick there to make prayer meeting my first priority. When we pray, God works. God wants us to depend on Him. And the prayer meeting is the powerhouse of the church, whereby we receive wisdom and strength to walk with God. How we can be not ashamed of Christ. To serve Him. All of us serve Him in different ways. As usher, as musician, in the tea fellowship, in the Sunday school. Well, the Lord wants us to serve Him. And if you have not an area of service, well, the Lord wants you to pray and consider that the Lord may lead you to serve Him, to serve His people in some area in this year of grace, 2016. And to speak and track for the Lord daily. Well, we have printed our tracks, almost 50,000 copies, and you have been going out there, taking them weekly to distribute. We thank the Lord for your zeal, and we want to encourage you for this new year to do something for the Lord, to take a tract. The tracks are all available in the table. We'll be inserting them in the bulletin on a weekly basis for your consumption. May the Lord help us to serve Him in this year of grace 2016. The date, your signature, something that is between you and the Lord. Right? Our service to God is not a show for men, but it is between us and God. And we would like you to think carefully and consider soberly concerning your service for the Lord, and to come and to make a resolve in your heart to serve the Lord. And this little paper would speed us along. The setting for this message, verse 30 of our text tells us, when they had sung a hymn, they went out unto the Mount of Olives. The Lord's Supper has just been instituted. We are on the Thursday before the Friday in which our Lord would be crucified. And it is in the evening whereby the Lord's Supper was instituted on a Thursday. He would soon be betrayed. After this, after they had sung the last hymn, our text tells us that they departed from the Mount of Olives. May I request some of these lights to be off so that the slides may be clearer? Jesus and His disciples would adjourn to the Mount of Olives. So this is the setting, right? The Lord has made provision for the Lord's Supper, for the spiritual nourishment of His people. And He knew, and at that time we also saw how Judas Iscariot was there to betray our Lord. And for 30 pieces of silver, he covenanted with the chief priest. And so this is the background, right? Behind the scene, all this transaction is taking place. Our Lord is going to go to the cross. He would be betrayed. They would try Him. And Jesus would make some predictions concerning how His disciples would desert Him. And Peter would adamantly reply that though others would betray him, he says, I would not. It will not be him. And so did all the other disciples. As you look at the end of our text in verse 35, they all said to the Lord, no, Lord, we will not desert thee. We would follow thee all the way to the end. We all know that Peter was too fast to speak, not knowing the great trial that is to befall them. Two thoughts that we want us to consider: our weakness and God's power. As we think of the scene that is before us, the great trial that the disciples will have to go through. Right? They have been with their master for the last 3.5 years. Jesus had called them, and Jesus had empowered them through personal discipleship concerning the things pertaining to his kingdom. And they all understood the charge that is rested upon them concerning what they ought to do. And they also have been warned or have been spoken to of to know of Christ's betrayal and his subsequent death. Christ is preparing his disciples for his approaching trial. And so he said to them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. We understand the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep, how the shepherd would take care of the needs of the sheep, and how when the shepherd is not there, well, the sheep is helpless, unable to take care of itself. And our Lord painted that picture very clearly when he began his ministry. Did he not say, when he saw the multitude of men and women in trouble, his heart went out to them. He knew the afflictions that were going on in their hearts. And he came in order to provide them solace, comfort, most of all, salvation, the power to overcome the ravages of sin. You recall in Matthew chapter 9, verse 30, how the Lord surveyed the scene. And this is the world before us. Right? But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. And so the time when our Lord would be betrayed, the disciples would face the greatest trial of their lives, because the Lord whom they saw had the power to overcome everything, overcome nature, overcome the devil, overcoming physical infirmities. There was nothing that the Lord could not overcome. Even the dead were raised. But they would see here a situation that seems so forbidding, because our Lord would be going to the cross. And it seemed so inevitable. They looked so helplessly But our Lord has explained to them. And the word of God was given to us in the book of Isaiah, 700 years later. Why the Son of Man must come. Why he has to suffer. And why he has to die. In order to be that lamb to take away the sin of the world. And so we are at this critical point in redemption history when Christ would have to go to the cross. And if you are a disciple of Christ who has been following the Master all this time, you would have realized that it is indeed a great trial. The shepherd would be smite, and the sheep would scatter. This was predicted many years before by the prophet Zechariah. Zechariah 13 verse 7. Speak of the betrayer and the crucifixion of Christ. Awake, O sword, against me, my shepherd, against my shepherd, against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. When the shepherd is smitten, the sheep lay helpless. And so the Lord is painting a very serious picture concerning his coming trial, the greatest yet for the disciples. And, you know, does it not remind us many years ago, more than 1,000 years ago, during the time of David the king, when he was also betrayed, and how he was also at the Mount of Olives? Ahithophel was the most trusted general or trusted advisor of David. He knew everything concerning David. And the Bible tells us that Ahithophel colluded with David's son Absalom in order to betray him. And this is a scene that was described for us in 2 Samuel chapter 15, verse 30. And David went up by the ascent on the mount of Mount Olivet and wept as he went up and had his head covered. And he went barefoot. And all the people that was with him covered every man his head. And they went up weeping as they went up, as they left the palace at Jerusalem, the temple where the ark was. David walked barefoot with a small entourage of his people. And David knew that trouble is to come. Verse 31 of 2 Samuel 15 says, "And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Judas Iscariot has just betrayed our Lord. For 30 pieces of silver, he covenanted with the high priest of Israel. Who is Jesus Christ? He is the Messiah. He is the God. He is the Savior. David was king in Israel. The Lord has placed him there. And Ahithophel was doing something that he ought not to do. And at the end of verse 31, it says, David prayed to the Lord. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ would be on the Mount of Olives at Gethsemane, also praying that God would give him that power, the strength to go through this great trial. And indeed, when we look to God, when we serve God to do His will, we can be assured that God will be with us to help us. Look at 2 Samuel 15, verse 32. It says, and it came to pass that when David was come to the top of the mount where he worshipped God, what did he do during the time of greatest trial? He worshipped God. Behold, Hushai, the Archite, came to meet him with his coat rent and earth upon his head. And we all know the story, how Hushai would be sent to thwart the counsel of Ahithophel. And so Ahithophel says, attack David now. Hushai says, give him time. His army is strong. And Absalom hearkened to the counsel of Hushai. David was saved. It was a momentous time in the life of David, in the life of Christ. It was there in the Mount of Olives that all this took place. The first thought for us, our weakness, right? Two thoughts that we said, our weakness and God's power. Verse 31 of Matthew 26 says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered. Jesus quoted Zechariah, the text that we have just mentioned. And indeed, it was fulfilled. If you were to run down the text to verse 56, you would see how all the disciples forsook the Lord. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. Our weakness and the Lord wants us to consider how we must not be self-confident. How Peter was so inconsistent in his testimony for the Lord. He says, I will do this, and yet when the crunch time came, he did not. And the Lord predicted that the cock would crow to signify, to affirm concerning his departure from his Lord. And the Lord wants us to think and consider our own lives. It was the deepest moment of trial in the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. He had spent 3.5 years to nurture 12 disciples. And Peter said to the Lord, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. This word offended means to fall into sin, to fall into apostasy, to backslide. to stumble. That's what the word means, to trip up. So Peter was very confident that he will not fall. He was very confident that he would not betray his Lord. He said, though all men shall be offended because of thee, well, they don't like the Messiah. The Jewish establishment do not like him. They don't want him to be king in Israel. But verily, he says, yet will I never be offended. What self-confidence he displayed. Well, sometimes we think that we are okay, we are able, right? But circumstances, trial, prove us otherwise. And Peter was someone who followed the Lord very closely. He was there with the Lord throughout his earthly ministry. He was there with the Lord during the time of the Transfiguration, you recall, with James and John. He saw the glorified Christ. He understood the plan of God. But at crunch time, when the situation is most grievous, he succumbed to fear. He could not take the pressure. He capitulated. But this was his resolve before God. And the Lord wants us to understand our weakness, that indeed we can fall. When we think we can stand, well, that's when we fall. And so the Lord wants us to be very circumspect. Jesus said to him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Not once, not two times, but three times. And Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee. Look at what he said. He was willing to die with the Lord. He knew what is to come. Right? He understood the will of God. Yet will I not deny thee. So Peter said that, and our text tells us, likewise also all the disciples. You realize that whatever resolve that they made, they were unable to fulfill. Their testimony was not consistent with their confession or their profession. They were self-confident. And oftentimes, we are like that. We think we are okay. We think that we have the strength, and we do not take step to draw close to God, to stand by His grace, in His grace, to be prayerful, to be reading His word, to be hiding His word in our hearts, that we might not sin against Him. The Apostle Paul gave that same advice to Timothy. That's our memory text. You recall? 2 Timothy 1:8. Paul said to Timothy, be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner. Paul knew Timothy when he went on the second missionary journey. Timothy was converted. And Timothy followed the Apostle Paul for a long time, walked with him. And later on, we see how the Apostle Paul was imprisoned. And he wrote this last epistle before his martyrdom to Timothy to ask him to be strong. And these are his words to Timothy, the words that Christ would give to his disciples, to Peter and the rest, to us too. Be not ashamed, therefore, of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner. Right? Paul was in prison. And, you know, something has been done in order that Paul would be thrown into prison. And we all know from church history that each time a leader of God is thrown into prison, well, it's not for, you know, the reason that is stated would not be a noble one. Right? Many false accusations would come upon them. It was the same for our Lord. They accused him of blasphemy. It would be a shameful thing to be identified with Paul. It was a shameful thing to be identified with Christ. They would stand to lose everything. There is a cost involved. And the Lord tells us that we are to consider carefully how we would react, how we would act in those moments of testing, in those moments of crisis. The Lord said to us, be thou partaker of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Meaning that God will see you through if you would abide with Him. If you would be not ashamed of Him. You recall the three friends of Daniel. They went into the fiery furnace. They were willing to perish by the fire. But what did God do? Well, God protected them. And they saw a fourth person, Christ Himself, the pre-incarnate Christ, there with them in their very presence to help them. Paul gave his own testimony to encourage Timothy to be strong. Wherefore, he says, I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. What was the weakness of Peter? Well, he capitulated. He was fearful because of the consequence of identifying with the Lord. And Paul gave his own testimony. How God's power was with him all the time, all the way. He says, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured. What did he say here? But out of them all the Lord delivered me. And so Paul is saying to us that there is power in the gospel. There's power in God to keep his people when they stand to do his will. yea, and all that will live godly in Christ shall suffer persecution. He's telling us that, you know, if you want to serve God, when you put your tick there, you know, you want to come for prayer meeting every week, be assured that you would be the first to be attacked. And the Lord wants us to realize, right, the kind of a spiritual battle that we are in. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. And he tells us, he warns us, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Oh, this is a world whereby deception is the name of the game. And unless you have God and His Word, the truth of God's Word to help you, you are very vulnerable. But continue thou, Paul says to Timothy, in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. That from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then he tells us the profit of spending time in the Word of God, how we would help us reach spiritual maturity. We saw this last week. The call to Christian maturity. And it leads us to this second thought. When we consider how weak we can be, even Peter, the man who has walked with Christ all these years, fell. What about us? You realize that, you know, we are weak too. But the Lord wants us to see and understand that He is still on the throne. And what we have sung in our hymn, right, to count our blessings, that God would overrule. God is still in charge. And two particular things, particular aspect, attribute of God that brings before us, firstly, to overcome this weakness is this, the omniscience of God and the omnipotence of God. That God is powerful. That God knows what you are going through. And He will make a way for you. There will be light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know what we will go through this year. What is to befall the church? What is to befall His people? What is to befall you in your lives? But the Lord wants you to know that He is with you. His power rests in you by His Spirit. And the Word that He has entrusted to you. He is still on the throne. And so Jesus says to the disciples, all ye shall be offended because of me. This night, all ye shall be offended because of me. So Jesus told them that you will fall. But Jesus also tells them, but after I'm risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. So Jesus tells them that He will triumph. In that trial, He would die, but He would also resurrect from the dead. Or He would be resurrected from the dead. And He will go before them. Right? Death will be conquered. The power of death would be conquered by the Spirit of His Holiness, by the power of God, But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee." So when Jesus would be betrayed, when he would have to go through the trial, the disciples would realize that they are alone. But they are not alone. That Christ would meet them again. He would rise from the dead. And so Christ predicted the environment that his sheep would be in. And he also assured them that he will still be their God. "I will go before you into Galilee. You will see me there. We will meet again." So for our departed loved ones, that's not the end. We will meet again when the Lord comes. And so we want us to learn and understand that there are times when we fail the Lord. There are times when we didn't make it. We thought we are able. But the Lord tells us that do not be discouraged. God overrules. His grace is greater than our sin. Jesus said to Simon, or Peter, Luke 22:31-33. He assured him. He said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." And he said unto him, "Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." You see, Peter was on fire for the Lord, but he did not know that he is in this earthen vessel, that human weakness can still overcome him if he's not yielding to the power of God. But the Lord wants us to know that he is still there for us. He is still there with us. You know, when Israel was asked to enter the promised land after they came out of the wilderness, they said, "We would not, because there were giants there. We are unable." What happened? They became fearful. Their faith failed them. And they had to go 40 years in the wilderness until all who have suffered in unbelief died. And the Lord brought a new generation into the promised land. You recall that? And how he gave Joshua the blueprint to conquer the promised land. And Jericho was the first. And how Jericho was taken down when they obeyed the Lord fully. A ridiculous military strategy, but they obeyed. "But I have prayed for thee." Our Lord Jesus Christ died, rose again, present with his disciples for 40 days and ascended to heaven at the right hand of the Father. What is he doing there at the right hand of the Father? The Bible tells us he is interceding for us, praying for us that you will make it, that you will cross the finishing line. And that is the assurance that God wants to give to you, that you will be victorious in your Christian walk. Be not discouraged if you have failed the Lord. Come back to him, just as the disciples did. The Lord tells us that we would continue to struggle against sin in our lives. And for our encouragement, The Lord tells us that we will be overcomer. And when we place our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given to us the victory. And the Lord wants us to follow Him, to walk with Him. And we would finally have the victory. In the book Pilgrim's Progress by John Bunyan, Christian was brought before a fireplace. And when he went to the fireplace, what happened? Well, he saw a man pouring water over the fire. And he also see that the fire does not extinguish. So he sees a fireplace, picture yourself. That's a picture of the Christian life. The fire that is the life that is begun in you, the eternal life that is begun in, that has begun in you through Christ Jesus, Satan would, by the permission of God, try to snuff it out. And he was told, the reason why the fire at the fireplace did not go out, because he was brought to the back of the fireplace, and there he saw a man. He saw a man pouring oil to keep the fire burning. And this is our Lord Jesus Christ, hidden. When we are in our trial, be assured that Christ will be with you. He is praying for you, just as he said to Peter, I have prayed for you. Satan will sift you as wheat, but you will overcome, because my power will prevail for you. The man pouring water, threatening to extinguish the flame of life, is Satan. And Jesus Christ is found at the back of the fireplace, not visible to anyone at the fireplace. Indeed, during the struggles against sin, it seemed that we are struggling alone. We are not. Christ is with us to give us the victory. If you would only lean on Him, you would only look to Him, you would only pray and stand with Him, we are not struggling alone. Christ is with us. God's power will prevail. Our weakness, God's power. May the Lord help us to see and understand concerning the great work that He has begun in your life, that He will see it to the end. May the Lord help us. God's, our weakness, God's power. And we have said there are some things that we can do in order that we can be that testimony for the Lord, so that when we see Him face to face at His coming, we shall receive His reward. May the Lord strengthen us, give us His power to walk with Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we want to thank Thee for giving us Thy word. We want to thank Thee for helping us to see our mortal weakness, how we are so prone to be overconfident, to be self-confident, to be inconsistent in our testimony. Lord, may Thou be merciful to cleanse us, to renew us, to restore us. to help us that we may walk with Thee with a renewed zeal and power. Lord, just as Thou hast recommissioned Peter at the Sea of Galilee, may Thou also strengthen Thy people and help them to go forth in this new year with a renewed strength and confidence. Confidence not in their own strength, our own strength, but in Thee. Help us, Lord, for we are weak, but Thou art strong. Lord, may Thy power prevail in our lives. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.